Sports Radio 1290, CFRW, Winnipeg.
Sidney Crosby, the golden goal!
A division of Bell Media. This is a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The NHL returns to Winnipeg on Sports Radio 1290.
I like this techno music. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live at sportsradio1290.com, good evening, universe, and welcome to part two of today's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Joined in studio right now by Ezra Ginsberg. He's usually with me on Saturday mornings. Michael Remus, operator of our desk. He's pulling a doubleheader today. You heard him earlier this afternoon on Sports Radio 1290. Now he's back in studio. Richie is somewhere in the building, so we're going to get him on momentarily. Gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Drew. It feels like we just got off the air, but it's good to be back here on Sports Radio 1290 in the studio at night. I didn't get a chance to listen to Michael, Matt, and Dave, but I heard they did an awesome job with all of the Jets alumni that they had on, so it's going to be another fun show tonight.
Now, Remus, throughout you were referred during the earlier program as part of the B team, and now if you're part of the, now you're here with us, and presumably we're the A team because there's only two teams on the Legal Curve. Does that make you the B minus, or you know what does that make? Where do you land in there?
I don't know. I think I'm kind of, you know, the line one, line two, kind of forward.
You're the tweener?
I'm the guy who can play in any type of situation.
Okay, so on a really great team, you'd be a second line player, but on a really, you know, on a good team, you're just a first line forward. Is that it?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Okay. I think if I had to find a player that was most like Michael on a Legal Curve, I'd probably say Ryan Kesler. And by the way, Ryan Kesler has a good chance at getting the Hart Memorial Trophy as MVP because, you know, you've been running the R desk, but you can jump on air. You also run, you know, the online content, and then when we have special shows, you're also kind of on assignment. So, you did a great job this afternoon, even though I only caught the guest lineup. But, Illegal Curve has been on for the last basically 24 hours, and it really is a special time right now because we're already finding out, Drew, that 2,000 almost season tickets were already snatched up for next year, so it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, 2,000 season tickets have been sold according to the Drive to 13 counter. And Scott Brown was just on with Hessler and Lawless. We heard him. 2,000 season tickets already sold to those that were eligible to buy today. Now, that's a very high percentage. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but if 2,300 people were eligible to buy today, 2,000 of them did. So you're looking at a very high percentage of people who are renewing and purchasing their season tickets. They were former Moose season ticket holders who now have had the opportunity to purchase Jets season tickets, let's call them that. And it's a great start. And based on this, I would not be surprised to see if the drive 13 is completed by, Saturday night, early Saturday evening, somewhere in that vicinity. That's a great sign. That'll be the vote of confidence that the NHL Board of Governors supposedly needs to see. Let's run down the show, how it's going to work this evening. Coming up at 6:30 tonight, one of the most iconic Winnipeg Jets is going to be joining us. That's Dave Manson. He's going to be joining us. We spoke to him earlier in the day. He's excited to come join us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
And I've been told we can't call him Charlie.
Exactly. So you will not be referring to him as that any longer after you just did, but that's okay. So Dave Manson is going to join us at 6:30 this evening. Coming up at 7 o'clock this evening, Premier of Manitoba Greg Selinger is going to join us for a few minutes. We saw him yesterday. You heard him on Sports Radio 1290 during the coverage from Tavern United yesterday. We're pleased to welcome the Premier to this program to sort of see 24 hours after the fact, how everything is shaking out for the Premier. We're going to take your calls at 780-1290. We're going to take your tweets at Illegal Curve, and we're going to read your emails, info@illegalcurve.com. It's going to be a very interactive, very free-flowing 2 hours here on Sports Radio 1290, and we're excited to have it. What do you guys... now looking back, 24 hours after the fact, everything else along those lines, still as excited, or is it settled in and you're sort of now it's the time where the party was yesterday and now it's time to figure out how you're going to get your season tickets, how you're going to be able to acquire them, how you're going to be first in line at 12 noon on Saturday? Is that where you're at sort of stage-wise?
Well, Drew, you just mentioned that you think that the 13,000 season tickets are going to be sold out on Saturday. And right after Hessler and Lawless got off the air, I was talking to Gary Lawless, and he's basically predicting that the first tier of tickets, which means the Moose season ticket holders who get the first crack, he thinks that the 8,000 max cap will be hit. And he's also predicting the same thing, which means that you both think, not only do you both think alike, and I happen to agree with you guys, but people are all people who just found out that we're getting NHL hockey back might not even get season tickets, even though they're willing to get them because of that the demand is so high. And we talked about this last night when we were at the Tavern United downtown beside the MTS Center. There's no question that this team is going to be supported. They could probably sell quite a few more season tickets than that, Drew. But it just so happens that our arena seats 15,000, and that's True North's goal, right?
You know what? It's supply and demand. If you create if the supply is low, not low, but you know, at a reasonable range, a mid range, your demand is going to be through the roof. And I think that's what you're going to see, is that demand for these tickets is going to be at an extreme high. And that's how you build a successful franchise or a successful business in any variety whatsoever. And I mean, they know it. You know, so would you rather have a 15,000 seat arena that's filled to capacity every night, the hardest ticket in town, or would you rather have an 18,000 seat arena where 90% of the time it's filled, you know, 80% of the time it's filled? I know what I would like. I want 15,000 people there night in, night out, going nuts, and I'm making that the hardest ticket to get in Winnipeg sports.
You know, True North is a smart group, and when they built the MTS Center, they obviously had in mind, you know, that we potentially get an NHL team. And I think, Drew, I think they agree with you that 15,000 seats is, you know, what exactly we can fill the capacity. And that's what we're going to do, 15,000 filled every night.
I don't think it's even going to be a challenge. I think that, you know, the drive to 13 is great marketing, and I don't think it's going to be a difficult drive to get there. People are sitting around, I mean, I'm getting messages from friends throughout the country saying, you know, how are we going to do it? How are we going to be the ones who are the lucky ones who get online on Saturday afternoon, at 12 noon? How are we going to be the ones who acquire our tickets?
And Drew, we're going to be on air until noon.
Well, I think
Saturday,
we're going to, after we're off air tonight, I think we're going to have a brainstorming session to try and figure out exactly how we're going to move from, you know, on air until about 12 noon to being, you know, front and center in front of our computers to be able to acquire those tickets. I think that's going to be a little bit of some tricky maneuvering we're going to have to endeavor in.
Wait, we're not ending the show early? I thought that we agreed on that.
Well, we'll have to see about that. Maybe a couple minutes early, we'll just play a tape of one of our former, you know, the best of Illegal Curve or something, you know, for the last 10 minutes to keep so that we can run to some computers somewhere around here and get online.
Reem, isn't the plan to go to like Future Shop and buy like 8 new computers and then just return them after Saturday?
What? No. Why would I do that?
Just to maximize your chances of getting tickets. No, but we'll have to come up with something because we're obviously going to have a big show planned, but it's going to be lots of fun. Unfortunately, I don't think those season tickets are going to last, but that's a good thing
it's
for
luck of the, draw.
The future of hockey.
It's
here,
luck
though.
Of the draw. It's what it's going to boil down to. First and foremost, it's going to be luck of the draw. Hopefully, you know, hopefully we're lucky. Hopefully our listeners are lucky. I don't think everybody's going to be lucky, but I'm confident that between friends and family, we'll all get our share of NHL hockey. Let's head to our first commercial break. After we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. We have Dave Manson coming. We have the Premier of Manitoba, Greg Selinger. He's going to be phoning in a little while. Take some of your calls the day after, the night after, the day that was. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. 6:15 in the evening. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on Sports Radio 1290. Part two of today's festivities involving the Illegal Curve boys. We were on earlier this afternoon, bridging the gap between Paul Edmonds and his Winnipeg Gold Eyes coverage, and of course, Hustler and Laws, who you just heard from. My name is Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg and Michael Remus. Richard Pollock is unfortunately under the weather today and will not be able to join us on air, so we send Richie all our best and get well soon. Hopefully we'll see you back here on Saturday morning.
Hey, Richie, you know what? Richie deserves a little bit of a rest after he came out with a five-part article, I should say, that we posted on illegalcurve.com about basically the team we're inheriting. And obviously Richie was on the radio, but Richie, you get better soon.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that article for a little bit, because I mean that was really the, yesterday was the celebration, the party, Portage and Maine, everything else. You know, rah rah rah. Everybody had a great time. Go Jets, go Chants! Spontaneously, you know, popping up throughout the city. Today it's time to sort of get down to business and say, okay, what are we getting in terms of a hockey team? What are we getting in terms of a skill set? What are we getting in terms of a salary cap issue? And Richie's article did a fabulous job of breaking that down. Article's available in its entirety at www.illegalcurve.com. And what we're getting, and we talked about this last night, but it's worth mentioning again. What we're getting is a team that really is on the cusp of a breakthrough into becoming a playoff contender, and then if everything goes to plan and you know the right decisions are made by the brain trust, this is going to be a team that is going to contend in a number of years and is really built for the long haul. This is no expansion team. This is a talented bunch of players that we're inheriting.
And, Drew, it might be the case that, you know, the Ilya Kovalchuk move had a lot to do with not wanting to sign him to the big money for an extended period of time. We all knew that Ilya Kovalchuk was going to get in the neighborhood of $7 to $10 million a year for long 5 or 6 years. It obviously turned out, as we all remember, that he got 27 years and $500 million. No, just kidding. But he signed for a ridiculous amount of money with the Devils. But you're completely right. This is a team that, it's funny, I was getting into a couple of arguments with people last night at the Tavern United in between breaks as far as, you know, whether this team's going to make the playoffs next year. And
also,
and
you were stealing their French fries.
That
might have had more to do with it, as you were constantly stealing random people's French fries.
Drew, by the end of the night, when it had been, you know, hour 7 or 8 on the radio, I was eating your cold fries and loving it. But getting back to the Thrashers.
Sounds dirty.
They were a very good hockey team in the first half. And yes, of course, hockey is played, NHL hockey is 82 games, and if you don't make the playoffs, that's what, you know, people are going to remember you by. But this is a team that quickly fell when Pavlich was injured and, you know, some of the younger guys start struggling. But the fact is the nucleus is good in all positions.
Well, let's go through the forwards here, because I mean, you know, we can break down this. We can sort of bring this article to our listeners before they, you know, head home and check it out with them for themselves. But what this team has, let's start with the forwards, because that's where Richie started. They have 9 forwards signed for next season. 9 forwards signed at a total cap hit of $15.09 million.
That's not bad,
which
Drew.
Which is not bad. Yes, I mean, not bad is an understatement. I would say it's a minimal commitment at this point. Especially considering the salary cap is rumored to be up at $62 million. One of the highest paid forward right now is Nikolai Antropov. He's at a $4 million cap hit this next season, 31 years old. You know what you're getting from Nikolai Antropov. You know, an established NHLer, but not a guy that you want leading your team. That's where we take it to our next guy, and that's Evander Kane. 19 years old, going to be a cap hit of $3.1 million. Only has already played 2 full seasons in the NHL, despite only being 19. The sky's the limit for this guy, and I think Winnipeggers should really get to know him. He's going to be here for a while if everything goes according to plan, and I think they're going to be the ones that they're going to be chanting his name in no time next season at the MTS Center.
You know, I have a feeling that Evander Kane will eventually become one of the more popular players in Winnipeg, and we're going to be seeing a lot of Kane jerseys, you know, all around the city.
You know, I think there's no doubt about that. I mean, along with Patrick Kane, some other young, talented players, very talented players that this team is inheriting. Brian Little, only 23 years of age, making $2.4 million next season. And Alexander Burmistrov, 19 years old. So again, two very, you know, very young forward group. 19 years old, $1.5 million is his cap hit. I mean, Burmistrov was drafted a year ago and played 74 games in the NHL last season as an 18/19-year-old. So, you know, if he's able to play at the NHL level at a very young age, at a time when a lot of players are still developing, and again, another guy where the future is very bright for these guys. As, you know, as Richie's article broke down in detail, he said really there's 4 sort of segments to the forward roster, and that's young and talented players with some NHL experience. That would be Evander Kane, Brian Little, and Alexander Burmistrov. Veteran scorers, Nikolai Antropov, we mentioned him. You know what you're getting from Antropov. He is what he is. He's 31 years old. Forward prospects, these are young guys who are still, you know, on an entry-level contract, haven't totally, you know, you don't know what their career is going to hold for them, but they have some talent. That's Carl Klingberg, and that's Patrice Cormier. And then, you know, depth forwards. And that's a guy like Jim Slater, making $1 million, 28 years old. Responsible, not going to light up the score sheet, but the kind of depth player every team needs. You know, a guy like Chris Thorburn, 27 years old, making less than $1 million. And Tim Stapleton, making $500,000, also 28 years old. Actually, great article in today's paper. We should sort of segue. Great article in today's paper it might have been online this afternoon, I could be wrong, about Tim Stapleton and how excited he is to come to Winnipeg. Did you guys see the article?
No, I can't say I did, but that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, we've talked to a lot of Thrasher players. I've read it all in the news. No one said a bad thing. Everyone's, you know, more than excited to come to a city where they're going to be playing to a full house every night.
Yeah, I'm going to echo those sentiments. It's like night and day, the comments we were hearing from the Coyotes. It was really, in my opinion, it was a little bit disgusting how they were talking about Winnipeg.
Ignorant. Disgusting and ignorant. Like, okay, Eric Bélanger, if anybody cared what you had to say about anything, you would have been signed to a multi-year contract by now. When you're at your point in your career and you're on one-year contracts, that means you're on your way out. So Eric Bélanger, you can go play in Quebec City whenever they get a team, because we're happy not to have you in Winnipeg. And Ilya Brizgalov, well, I mean, I think his first-round playoff performance spoke more about Ilya Brizgalov than anything I could say right now.
You know, the one thing about Ilya Brizgalov, you know, I hope he signs in the NHL, because can you imagine the rain of boos that are going to come down on him when he steps foot at the MTS Center?
Well,
it's not going to be pretty.
No, it's not going to be pretty at all
for him.
I can already hear the Brizgalov chant, you know, going on at the MTS Center, especially the rumored destination that he's going to go is Philadelphia. And Philly will be playing in Winnipeg twice next year. So that's something that, you know, potentially you could look forward to. Get your chants ready, get your signs ready well ahead of time. 780-1290. If you're calling from out of town, listening online, 204-780-1290. We'll be glad to take your calls throughout the show. We're on until 8 o'clock tonight. Ezzy.
Drew, I just want to get a quick comment in regards to what you were talking about, you know, a few minutes ago about Richie's article and the nine forwards that are signed. You know, you've got the Tim Stapleton and you've got, you know, the young guys like Evander Kane and you know, an older guy who's you know, had some offensive success but been a little inconsistent in Antropov. But I think that the key to that forward group is going to be one of the forwards that we're expecting to re-sign, and that's Andrew Ladd, and he was just on Hustler and Lawless earlier. He's, of course, the captain, had his best year ever this year. He's got two Stanley Cups, and we're expecting him to re-sign. He's a free agent.
He's an RFA. That's an important distinction to make.
And in Richie's article that we keep referencing, which is on the site, we're expecting him to have no problem re-signing, and he's going to be the key, because he's as the captain, this team has a bit of a, there is a bit of a, you know, a polarization as far as the age goes, and this team is going to depend a lot on those guys. You know, we're expecting maybe a couple free agents to be signed, but the most important thing is, Drew, that the free agents that the Thrashers bring over to Winnipeg, those guys, many of them will re-sign, including Anthony Stewart, Robbie Schrempf,
RFAs are likely to re-sign with the team, because, you know, the team gets the whole, you know, decide if they want them or not. And a guy like, I don't think you can let a guy like Andrew Ladd go very easily. So let's continue on. I mean, the five RFAs, with its, you know, 780-1290, area code 204. 780-1290 if we want to take your calls before we head to our next commercial break. I'd like to hear from you about what you think about this roster that we're inheriting. You know, you mentioned Andrew Ladd, 25 years old. You know, had his best season offensively, 59 points in 81 games. But he's not a dynamic scorer. He's not going to be a point-a-game guy. But he's a winner. And every team needs a winner, and that's why he's the captain of the Atlanta Thrashers.
And he's been, he's very much been kind of a grinder who gives you you know, consistent, kind of middle of the range second line offense. If you look at when he was on the Hurricanes in 2006 with Stahl and Ward, and that team was very deep, and Brind'Amour, obviously, and look at last year's Chicago team. Andrew Ladd was not one of the top three or four offensive guys. He was obviously someone who was kind of part of that secondary offense. So I think Andrew Ladd is a perfect player who is on a team that has young offensive skill, kind of older, grinding type players. You kind of need a guy that's kind of going to stabilize the team a little bit, and that's why he was successful last year.
He's a locker room leader. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, please identify yourself. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Can you turn your radio down, please?
Yeah, turn it down, boys. How's it going?
Very well. What's your name?
Derek LaRiviere.
Derek, thanks for joining us. What's on your mind? What do you think about the team that we're inheriting?
My main concern right now is what we can do about the goaltending. I'm very concerned about Pavlich in net there.
Oh, don't be. I wouldn't be that concerned about Pavlich. He's got a bright future ahead of him. Also, very young, I think 22, 23 years old. I mean, you know, give him, let him develop in net, and if everything goes according to how he played last year and the potential that he holds, we're going to be very comfortable in net with Andre Pavlich moving forward.
So you don't think they do anything in the offseason about even a backup? With I know the backup right now is Mason, and he had a pretty shaky year last year.
Yeah, Derek, just let me step in here for a second. You know, I don't know if you heard, listen to the show in the past few weeks. We had Chris Mason on. And in my opinion, just to answer your question, I don't think there will be any let's say, 1A or 1B goaltenders picked up. I think that this goaltending tandem is these guys aren't superstars. Andrej Pavlich is very young. He played 58 games last year. But just to ease your mind a little bit, Andrej Pavlich had the 13th best save percentage in the league last year, and you might say, okay, that's not great, but he's very young, there's a lot of room for that guy to grow. And Chris Mason, he's been a bit of a journeyman, but the good thing about Chris Mason is he's going to give you probably 20 to 30 games, and he's not going to hurt you at all. So I think we're not looking too bad in goal. In fact, I would say that we're probably in the top half of the league as far as that goes.
Okay, so basically this is Pavlich's team for the future is basically what you're telling me.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at his numbers, I mean, save percentage of .914 last season, which is a pretty decent number, especially on a team. You got to keep in mind that the Thrashers were not the best defensive team last year. They were a little loose in their own end. And his even strength save percentage, which is a really good indicator, up at .928, at a .928 save percentage. Reasonable. I mean, a cheap cap hit at $1.15 million. You know, if Andre Pavlich could be a member of this franchise for the next 10 years, and we should be in very good hands at that point in time.
All right, thank you. I was just wondering if they were going to be making any changes in that, and but basically the scoop and on the lowdown on Pavlich.
We appreciate the call very much. Let's take one more call before we head to commercial. Dave Manson. Caller, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Please identify yourself.
Ty from LaBrokerie.
Hi, Ty. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
What's up, Ty?
You're looking at that roster, and I like the young talent. And then let's talk to those homers in Toronto. Let's see. Let's start taking bets on which young team makes the playoffs first, us or Toronto, us in our first year, or Toronto in their 100th.
Well, you know what? That's a great point, Ty, and we appreciate the call. One of the best tweets that we saw yesterday was from somebody, I guess, a Leafs fan, who said they should name the team the Winnipeg Maple Leafs. That way, he's likely to see a Maple Leaf Stanley Cup within his lifespan.
No, it's a great team. We've got some talent. It'll be interesting to see what they do in the draft, because that's going to be key, I think.
And the 7th overall pick, and we're going to be breaking down the draft in exquisite detail throughout the next few weeks leading up to the draft, really 3 weeks away from now. Ty, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Appreciate that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ty. And keep in mind who Carolina drafted 7th overall last year. Who was it?
Jeff Skinner.
Pretty good hockey player.
Yeah.
Pretty good
hockey
player.
Exactly. Guys, let's leave it there. Let's go to a commercial break. When we come back, Dave Manton, one of the all-time Winnipeg Jets, is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, part 2 on this Wednesday afternoon. Part 1 was earlier, featuring Michael Remus, Dave Minuk, and Matthew Leibel. My name is Drew Mindell. I'm joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg. And again, Michael Remus, you're really pushing the oil tonight there, Reem.
Yeah, I'm putting in some work for you guys, let me tell you.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Let's go all the way to Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, where we're joined by former Winnipeg Jet Dave Manson. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Pleasure to be there, guys.
We thank you very much for your time, Dave. Dave, let's start. The obvious question is, you were here the final season the Jets played in 95-96. You went with the team for a season to Phoenix. Did you ever think that there'd be a time where the NHL would be returning to Winnipeg?
Well, at that time, no, I didn't. Because of the way the league was going and, the economics of the game. But they seemed to straighten that out. So, at that time, no, with the U.S. dollar being as strong as it was, it was just, and the push from the NHL board to get more teams down south, I didn't think so, no.
Describe for us that final year in Winnipeg, knowing that the team was moving, the quote-unquote lame duck team surprised everybody by making the playoffs. Was there sort of a motivation in the dressing room by the players to, give more playoff run to the fans in addition to, of course, wanting the success that every player should want?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we knew it was going to be a tough situation for the fans coming to the games night in and night out. But for players, we play. Like, we were paid to play and to play our best. But, and we want the playoffs for the organization first, and, you know, also to represent Winnipeg, the city.
What about that first year in Phoenix? I mean, it was a new thing in Phoenix. It was exciting, you know, supposedly. Did you think that the Coyotes, I mean, I know the Coyotes are still there, but, you know, to say they're on life support might be a bit of an understatement. Did you think that hockey in Phoenix was going to be a success?
Well, I think, you know, like that first year that we were there, you know, it was supported very well. You know, you can't, the rink was a lot easier to get to from what I hear now. I have not seen the new rink out in Glendale, but it's kind of an isolated rink now, and I think it's just harder to draw the fans. And I think that's hopefully the fans can start to support it, because you'd hate to see another NHL team move.
Dave, it's Ezra here. As Drew mentioned earlier, you're in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. What's it like to, you know, be hearing everything? What's it been like to follow the entire return of the NHL story throughout the media, and maybe also talk a little bit about what's it been like to talk to some of your past teammates and friends and throughout this entire process?
Well, you know, it's been exciting for me personally. You know, my family and I really enjoyed our time in Winnipeg, and we spent summers there, winters, and so it was hard for us to watch the emotions of the fans losing a game that's so passionate, Canadian people are so passionate about. So I was very interested in the goings on, and I kind of had a feeling after meeting Mark Shippen down in Winnipeg for Mike Keane's charity event that he's a man that gets things done. So, you know, with him on side and the ownership, True North, it was just inevitable that there was eventually going to be a team in Winnipeg.
Yeah. What do you think, Dave? I don't know if you'll be able to answer this, just as a personal opinion. Do you think that hockey in sort of the southern sun belt, as it were, is going to prove to be a long-term success? I mean, you know, you look at the Florida Panthers market, they seem to be struggling, very little attendance and very little attendance on television. You know, you played down in Phoenix for a season. Do you think that hockey belongs in the southern United States?
Yeah, that's a tough question, because there's a lot of people put a lot of time and effort in studying different economics of it, and, you know, that's not for my opinion. I do know that down in the States, there is a lot more sports teams, so there's a lot more going on. The one thing I do know is that U.S. people will support the winning franchise, and once, you know, you have a stable situation, you know, it has proven in the past that they will be there night in and night out. Now, you know, when you look at the Atlanta situation, it's failed twice. So I don't know how they thought it might work the second time, but, you know, hopefully that won't be revisited ever again.
You know, Dave, go ahead, Dave.
And now you look at the Florida situation, and, you know, I think Florida had some early success. And I think the Tampa situation is being straightened out now with, you know, with the ownership group. And, of course, Steve Yzerman there, he's going to add stability. And I believe Florida will get straightened out, too, at downtown. So I think, maybe Atlanta is an isolated situation. And, again, that's just my opinion.
Dave, you were a veteran defenseman when the Jets left for Phoenix in 1996. You'd already played with the Oilers and the Blackhawks. What do you think is going to be the most important thing for some of those veteran guys, like, even though, you know, Andrew Ladd's only 25 years old, what's going to be the most important thing as far as the veteran leaders go on that team to make sure that the team, you know, transitions as well as they can to a new city?
Well, you know what, they are, you know, I know the leadership group, and they have great nucleus there. So I don't think the transition's going to be that difficult myself. It's going to be tough for a while, but that's for the wives and the kids. They're going to have the toughest transition because they have to find homes and different schools, make different friends. for the hockey players, it's, you know, they have a top-grade facility to play out of. The travel looked after by somebody else. You know, it won't take long to get used to the new digs, and, you know, there's so many people that are offering their assistance. I think the transition's going to be a lot easier than what people believe. And if the players are going to enjoy any city that they play in, and if they don't enjoy it, then it's their own fault and they shouldn't be there, period.
Good answer, Dave. We'll let you go on this one final question. You know, you had three seasons here in Winnipeg. What stands out to you as your greatest memory as a Winnipeg Jet?
Well, you know, I met a lot of great friends there. I met some great friends off the ice. Like I said, I spent a lot of time in Winnipeg. And the biggest thrill of mine was, you know, we had some success with some great young players and Kachuk, Alexandrov, Damoslani, Temple Nuvinen, Nikolai Abibulin. And I think the fact that we were able to go to Detroit and win game, come back for game six, was a huge, huge success because, you know, we would have went to game seven, but we were able to give the fans one last kind of a hurrah before the team, you know, went to Phoenix. And after that game, I was able to carry my son around the ice, and, you know, how the fans treated my son, I'll never forget. So that's certainly one of my highlights.
Dave Manson, former Winnipeg Jet, thank you very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Hopefully we'll see you back in Winnipeg real soon, maybe catch a new NHL franchise game here in Winnipeg.
You will, for sure, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thanks very much. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Dave. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Dave Manson, I remember Dave was, I'm trying to think of the trade, and I'm sure somebody on Twitter is going to remind me. I believe we acquired Dave Manson in exchange for Boris Mironov, and yep. Was it Mats Lindgren?
It might have been.
I believe that was the trade. Remus, you want to look that up? Remus
from Edmonton.
From Edmonton. Yep. We traded Boris Mironov, and I believe it was Mats Lindgren for Dave Manson.
And Drew, for those who are old enough to remember, we were talking about this last night when we were talking about when we were going to get Dave Manson on. That last year, 1996, when the Jets, the year the Jets left, Dave Manson went to the All-Star game and won the hardest slap shot competition. I think it was 100.4 miles per hour.
That's
had
right.
A great shot. He was a great defenseman, had a great career, and it was awesome to have him on.
And, you know, Drew, I just looked up that trade, and I can say you're absolutely correct. He's traded from the Oilers in 94, along with a sixth-round pick for Mats Lindgren, Boris Mironov, a first-round pick, and a fourth-round pick.
That was a lot. You know what? Dave Manson was a hell of an NHL player, given the amount that the Jets gave up for him back then.
Well, he was our number one defenseman on the power play and in pairing, so, I mean, you know, that's what they had to give up. And Boris Mironov, too, went on to play quite a few more years.
Yeah,
so.
He had a good career ahead of him as well.
Just for the record, the picks that the Jets gave up there, they turned into nothing.
I remember being upset that they gave away Mats Lindgren, but Mats Lindgren didn't have much of a career.
He was a high pick and then didn't pan out.
No, he was a first-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. And the odds of me being right twice in one show, very slim.
I think he might have been 11th overall.
Okay, I thought 14th, so we'll get you to check on that. Let's go to commercial break. When we come back, we'll find out who's right between Remus and I. We'll take more of your calls, your tweets, or emails. We're with you until 8 o'clock tonight. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. I think I'm going to use this as my theme song from now on.
Are you trying to, you know, do the Sam Cates conga, Drew?
The conga dance? Yeah, no. I don't have Thomas Dean behind me to help me out.
I you know what? I'm a big fan of Sam Cates, big fan of Thomas Dean, but that conga line just looked awkward.
It did look a little awkward.
If that conga line, you know, was an event in Dancing with the Stars, what would you give it? Three?
A three would be charitable.
Out of 10?
Yeah.
Is it out of 10? I'd probably give it a 1.6.
You put a lot of thought into that for a conga line.
Yeah.
It was not the most impressive conga line I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying. They could have, if they had promised the conga line, they could have been rehearsing. Maybe got a couple of real professional dancers in there. RWB's not too far from the Forks. Maybe some of the, you know, the professional dancers at the RWB could have helped them out with the conga line. It was just awkward looking.
Could have had some, you know, lessons, some costumes, maybe a few maracas in there.
Is it so hard to get a maraca nowadays?
You know, I just don't know.
Well, anyways, if the Morocco salesman we just had a telemarketer call, so if a Morocco telemarketer can call, maybe we'll buy some Moroccas on air today. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. For all those that weren't able to get through during the last time we took calls, call back. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts about the team that we're inheriting. Great piece by Richard Pollock at www.illegalcurve.com, breaking down the roster in great detail. Are you going to buy season tickets? How are you splitting them up? Are you going with a group of buddies to try and get your hands on a couple pair of tickets? We want to hear from you. 780-1290. Let's be like this guy. Caller, what's your name? Welcome to the program. Caller, are you there? Nope, looks like we lost him. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290.
Drew, can we talk a little bit about some of the reaction that the return of the NHL announcement is okay? We got the caller back. Okay.
Yeah. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your name?
My name's Scott. I'm from Lockport, Manitoba.
Scott, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, we're just still talking season tickets?
No, we're talking whatever you want. Anything to do with Return of the Jets.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I tweeted this to you guys, but I'll ask on the air. Do you guys think we're going to pick up a pure goal scorer in free agent season?
Well, Scott, I'll just jump in here, and then I'll let Drew chime in a little bit. But I think that there, you know, if you were listening before, you follow the free agent the current roster that the Thrashers have, there's 9 forwards signed, right? And you have to assume that Andrew Ladd is a given, too, so that's 10 right there. And I, to answer your question in short form, I think that they're definitely going to be trying to get a scorer. And keep in mind that this team is not going to be spending right to the salary ceiling, right? So I think the key to this team is going to be value. And my assumption would be that they try to get someone off of the free agent market that brings some value. And I have to say right off the bat that Brad Richards or someone that's going to command in the neighborhood of $5 to $7 million, like an Alex Tanguay, not going to happen. So you'd have to think that they're looking at guys probably in their mid to late 20s, that they can get for $2 or $3 million, because this team is not going to be in the market for a frontline $6 million guy. So,
and along Izzy's point there, I don't think that they should be in the market for a top flight player that's going to command a big ticket. You know, the best thing that this team has going for it are two things. One, a tremendous amount of talented youth. And two, salary cap flexibility. And in this day and age in the NHL, with the salary cap really being one of the key, managing the salary cap properly being one of the key jobs of any front office, having that flexibility is something you want to hold on to, and you don't want to, tie it up on a long-term contract on a high-scoring player when the team might not be at that level ready to dominate. So, Scott, we appreciate the phone call. I don't see a big, pure goal scorer coming on free agency, but I've been wrong before, and I'll be wrong again.
All right. Well, keep up the good work, and we'll see you at the MTS Center in a few months.
Appreciate that, Scott. Thanks very much. We got another caller coming through. Caller, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. What's your name?
Hey, how you doing? Mike from St. Patel.
Mike, welcome to the program.
How's it going, Mike?
Not bad. I just got a quick question about, you guys were talking about the roster we're going to be getting and cap issues or whatever. Just kind of looking at the defense corps and the money that's being spent between, say, Enstrom, Hainsey, and Bufflin.
Yep, yeah.
And just wondering, Enstrom, I know, is a fairly young guy. Heaney, I'm not too familiar with. But just the money tied up there, even with a 7-round draft pick, just wondering about freeing up some money for the future, signing a high draft pick long-term, and if you had seen a kind of comparison maybe to a Nashville where they're more defensive-heavy than offensive.
I think the Nashville comparison is a good one, and as for your question about too much money tied up in the back end, I think the answer is absolutely. I think that Bufflin is probably a little bit overpaid at $5.2 million. Right now he's not very good defensively, and that's I don't think anybody would really quibble with that. So that's an area, when you're paying $5.2 million to a defenseman who is not responsible defensively, it's probably a little much. But then the real problem is Ron Hainsey's $4.5 million contract.
Yeah, I noticed that today, and I honestly whatever, been following hockey for almost 30 years and have never heard of the guy.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you almost fell off your chair, you wouldn't. I think Ron Hainsey was probably a little surprised when they offered him that much as well. But, you know, they'd love to move somebody on the back end, I imagine, be it Ron Hainsey or Johnny Aduya, because Zach Bogosian, who is an RFA right now, is a supremely talented top-flight defenseman. That's a guy that they need to get under contract. And right, they have a lot of money tied up in their back end that they really need to sort of try and free a little bit of it up. It's a good defense right now. It's a good top six. Don't get me wrong. It's just overpaid at the moment.
And for our caller, just to you know, add to that, I think that, you know, a guy like Ron Hainsey, who is more of an offensive guy and who has struggled in and out of different lineups, if you go back to the Montreal Canadiens, he's in his late 20s. But if you look at a guy like Johnny Oduya especially, he's going to be probably your fourth or fifth defenseman. Yeah, he's a little bit overpaid. Something that maybe has gotten a little bit lost, Dustin Byfuglien switched to defense. And last year he was leading all defensemen in scoring. You have to also consider the possibility that Dustin Byfuglien will go back to forward. And that's not something that we can really speculate on too much, because that'll depend on what the coach wants, what Byfuglien will, what role he'll accept. But you have to always consider that Byfuglien might be a little bit overpaid, and he might still be overpaid if he goes to forward. But if there's a chance to move either Hainsey or Oduya, they will. But I'm expecting that at all positions, there won't be too many free agent acquisitions. I think you're going to see, you know, a guy like Andrew Ladd obviously re-signed, but Anthony Stewart, Robbie Schrempf, and so on and so forth. But the defense is really not that bad. It's maybe not one of the top five or top ten, but it's okay.
I think it's in the top ten. Mike, we appreciate the call. Thanks for listening.
No, keep up the good work, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate that. Let's continue on the phone line, 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. Caller, thanks. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. What's your name?
Guess who?
Greg. What's going on, Greg?
Fine. Yes. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
You know, Greg, we have Premier Greg coming on later. But you know, for everyone who wasn't at the tavern last night, Greg was number one fan. hanging out with us at the Tavern United, and you know, we had a good time, and it was good to have you with us. What's going on, Greg?
In the words of a rapper, what's my name? So,
what's on your mind, Greg? What do you want to talk about?
Well, thank God the True North basically, I will say, quashed the rumor of the AHL affiliate will be in St. John's.
Yes.
Newfoundland,
yes.
Because, pardon the pun, this is going to be dead. This is a rock in a hard place, pardon the pun, for people who are listening in Newfoundland, for multiple reasons. One, the $500,000 subsidy is in terms of soften the blow in terms of cost of the away teams playing in the Mile 1 Stadium. We know for past that AHL hockey has failed in St. John's, Newfoundland, with the St. John's Maple Leafs, who had to schedule back-to-back games in...
Greg, do you have a question, Greg?
Well,
you got to make it real quick. We're right up against the break.
Is, I don't know why we are basically teeing off on the St. John's, Newfoundland. Well, we have the option for going to the Chicago Wolves, which is the apparent HL affiliate for the Atlanta Thrashers, or a vacant... AHL affiliated club called the Portland Maine Pirates, who just lost their affiliation to Buffalo.
Greg, thank you very much for the call. Try and answer that. Apparently what's going to happen, and we had Robin Short of the St. John's Telegram on the Saturday morning version of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show a couple weeks ago when that news first broke. And what Robin said is that True North is going to operate and own the team in St. John's for one season.
Right.
A handshake agreement is apparently going to be made between True North and prospective new owner in St. John's named Danny Williams. He's the former premier of Newfoundland. I think the timelines involved and everything else requires that True North is going to own that team for one season in St. John's.
Yep.
And then next year, Danny Williams will formally buy the former Manitoba Moose and operate them as the affiliate of the Winnipeg NHL club. So that's apparently the dynamics at play. The Canucks, I mean, who certainly have better things to worry about right now, given that the Stanley Cup Finals begin in, I think, about 5 minutes' time. The Canucks are going to be looking for a new AHL affiliate next season. A very logical choice is the existing Chicago Wolves AHL franchise.
Right.
But when it comes to AHL affiliates, they often have a set of dominoes that are always rotating. So we'll see where the puck lands or whatever in that, and we'll see how that figures out in the next couple of weeks. Right up against it, let's go to break. Premier Selinger now at 7:15 p.m. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. The NHL's coming back to Winnipeg? What? I had no idea. I thought we were previewing game one of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight.
I feel like I can't think or talk about anything else but the NHL coming back.
I don't care about this. I don't care. They can be, you know what? I hope they both injure themselves and they're going to be worse for it next season.
Reem, I'm not even watching the Vancouver game tonight. I'm just going to be analyzing our roster.
During the announcement, I almost forgot that the Stanley Cup Finals were going on. But now that the game's actually starting, there was like a week layoff there, or five days, whatever. But it was too long. I forgot about it. But now I'm starting to get excited.
You really?
Mildly. Not as excited as I am for the NHL coming back to Winnipeg. But, you know, the Stanley Cup Finals, it is a big deal.
Yeah, okay, fine. But I don't really care. I'm not going to cheer for, God forbid, I'm not going to cheer for Vancouver.
I'll cheer for Vancouver. I liked them before, and then my affiliation with Vancouver after this year is done. I'm cutting the cord.
I'm with Reem. Obviously, we have a team now, but whenever there's a Canadian team against an American team in the Stanley Cup Finals, I'm going to cheer for them, unless they're the New Jersey Devils.
You guys are all crazy. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. I care about the Jets only. Everybody else can do whatever they want. You know, I don't care about. I want those guys to, for the most part, I want those guys to, I don't want them injured. I'm not a masochist or a mean guy. I want them to play hard-fought series that takes a toll on them for the next season. That's what I want.
You know, Drew, last segment, we had a call from Greg, and we were talking about how True North confirmed that the AHL is moving to St. John's. And I don't think it can be understated that, yeah, you know, Vancouver probably isn't happy about that. But it also can't be understated about how convenient it's going to be to have the relationship that True North is going to have owning two teams and two clubs. St. John's might be a little bit far away, but there's going to be a lot of young prospects that are going to be, given a lot of time in the AHL. And there's no reason to believe why, the success of the Manitoba Moose isn't going to translate to the new AHL team, whether it's the St. John's Moose or whatever, and how that's going to be able to feed our NHL team, right?
We'll have to see how that's going to play out, but I mean, it is the you always want your AHL affiliate and your NHL affiliate working in conjunction with each other, as opposed to at loggerheads. Let's go to the calls on the phone. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Can you turn down your radio, please?
Hello.
Hi. Can you turn down your radio?
Sure, it's down.
Thanks very much. What's your name? Welcome to the program.
Hey, it's John.
John, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
What's going on, John?
Do you guys know that if they hit 13,000, are they going to sell it out right to the max, or are they cutting it off at 13,000?
They're cutting it off at 13,000 is what I understand. I don't know that for sure. But
John, I'll jump in right here, okay? Because I was talking to Gary Lawless about this earlier after the Hustler and Lawless show ended earlier tonight. And Gary Lawless basically said that the cap for previous Moose season ticket holders, who are priority ticket holders at this point, is 8,000, and the goal is 13,000, and yes, that is a hard cap. They will not pass 13,000. They've said that they have to have 2,000 tickets available.
Single game
they're expecting here to sell out these tickets rather quickly. That's why 13,000 was the goal, not 15.
You know, I was on the Drive to 13 website, and they have a great live chat there where they were answering fans' questions, and they said they'll have 1,000 tickets available, I think it was in the lower bowl, and then but the other 1,000 are, I believe, in suites, and those single-game tickets will be available at, I think, a 45% markup, which is standard for other teams.
So that's what they're going to do. For the fan who can't afford, you know, a season ticket, and they're certainly going to, that's certainly understandable, and there's certainly going to be plenty of those. There will be the opportunity to, when single game tickets go on sale, to buy tickets. I don't know if you have a favorite player that's coming to town, or what you want, or you want to see one game and one game only. It sounds like that opportunity will be available to you.
I'm going to buy a package, but I just wanted to know if I wanted to go like another game or something, you know?
Well, you know what? I suspect that as soon as the single game seats go on sale, and they're going to go on sale obviously at a later date after all the season ticket stuff is taken care of, I suspect
right.
Those will go quite quickly as well. And then at that point in time, you're into the resale market and, you know, supply and demand. You know, you saw the demand for Stanley Cup tickets in Vancouver has resulted in, I think, people paying something like
$4,000
for a ticket to tonight's game one. Which, if you're doing that, I think you need to get your head examined. John, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
No worries.
780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. We want to hear from you, whatever you questions you try and help answer regarding the return of the NHL to Winnipeg.
Drew, just to continue the talk about tickets, too, there are True North is going to be selling half-season packages as well.
For certain sections.
For certain sections.
I think it's the P6 and P7 section.
The most important thing is that everyone who wasn't a season ticket holder for the Manitoba Moose is going to get their crack. It's Saturday at noon. The website is drivetothirteen.com. They've already updated it today at, I believe, 4:30 Central Time. They've almost sold 2,000 season tickets already, and they're probably going to sell in the neighborhood of 4 to 6,000 more before Saturday. So the important numbers to remember, Drew, are that 13,000 is the hard cap as far as season tickets go, and that the commitment is 3 to 5 years based on the ticket package P1 through I don't know if it's P5, but basically
I think it's P7.
It's actually P7.
Pardon
yeah,
me.
There's
so
seven. There's P1, seven different P7, pricing structures.
And there are. It is going to be a rush, but there will be mini ticket packages and single individual tickets going on sale at a later date, probably after the Board of Governors meeting somewhere. Late summer, early fall. Early summer, pardon me. But it's going to be good. This is obviously. I don't think anybody's going to be bringing up the we're not going to sell enough tickets stuff. 2,000 tickets went in 4 hours. People are already putting tickets on Kijiji and asking for tickets on Kijiji. So, it's pretty ridiculous.
When they announced the Drive to 13, website and whole marketing campaign, the whole thing is just so impressive. It's so well thought out. I mean, I was on the site earlier today, and as I said before, they had nightly chats where, so many people came in and asked so many questions, and True North has been very good about answering each one specifically. And then what they said about single game tickets becoming available, they said that's most likely in September.
Fall. Yeah, exactly. Right before the season starts, they usually do a big splash on single game seats becoming available. Throughout the summer, there's going to be multiple big events related to this. There's going to be a huge announcement whenever they decide what the team name is going to be.
Yep.
When they officially announce who the front office is going to be. When they finally get some players in town and they get to introduce these guys to the public. It's just going to be a summer of big event after big event as it relates to the NHL coming back to Winnipeg.
All right, so if we're going to have all these big events, what's the over-under on times they're going to be closing Portage and Main in the summer? So three more times? Are you going to take the over-under in that? Like, I think over
I don't think
tough.
I don't think they're going to do it. I think it'll be one more time, and I think it'll be the name of the team.
The name? You think if it's Jets, is everyone going to go nuts? And then if it's not Jets, will people still maybe go not as nuts?
I think people are going to embrace it anything. But, I think there is a concern that True North has to be wary of, that, people seem to be clamoring for the Jets. Certainly there are some who don't. But that email that we got late last night when we were on air doing the special on Fab 94.3 that said, it was from a Minnesota Wild season ticket holder. And he said, I'm a proud Minnesota Wild season ticket holder, but I was a North Star ticket holder. And, I cannot stomach the thought of buying a Wild jersey. He only was going to be acknowledge himself as a North Star. He's going to wear his North Star jerseys everywhere. So, when the people are clamoring for a team name, sometimes you just give the dog the bone and give them what they want, and that is the Jets' name.
I think that's exactly what happened in Cleveland when they got the Browns.
Browns, absolutely.
We're in a very similar situation now with them. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen.
And Reem, I don't think that we're going to have to wait that long. I think I'm not going to speculate on when the team name announcement will happen, but I imagine it will be before the end of June.
Well, look, the draft is I think June 24th. They're not going to announce their first pick to the Winnipeg franchise. They're going to have a team name in place.
Exactly, and then the Board of Governors meeting is June 21st, right, Drew? So
yeah,
it'll be somewhere.
The Board of Governors are going to. But at that point in time, the Board of Governors meeting is just going to be a formality. They're just going to rubber stamp it.
Yep.
The 13,000 seats are going to be sold. This franchise isn't going anywhere. Let's not put too much stock into the Board of Governors meeting, but. I think you're right, Remus. The draft is June the 24th.
The 24th.
Yeah. Whatever the Friday is there, I think it's the last Friday in June, whatever it is.
I just want to say something really quickly, Drew. We were talking about this last night, and we all believe that every game is going to sell out, and some people say, it could be just the first year, just the first 3 years. I think if 13,000 season tickets are sold, and the capacity of the arena is 15,000, and all of those season tickets are signed up for 3 to 5 years. It wouldn't be ridiculous to say that the first 5 years are going to sell out easily.
Let's take another call right before we go to the break. Caller, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. What's your name?
This is Graham.
Graham, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the program.
How's it going? I'm actually on the door at Portage.
Okay.
Of the MTS Center?
The studio.
Of the MTS Center?
Are you guys at the studio or no?
We're at the studio's on Pembina Highway. What's your question, Graham?
My question is, where's my Illegal Curve toque?
Well, you can email Richie. Email Richie, editor@illegalcurve.com, and he'll hook you up with that.
Editor? Yeah. Not bad,
exactly. We like to give him all the credit we can. Graham, you have something? You have a specific question you want about the team?
I guess I have a kind of question. I saw Hustler and Lawless had tweeted that Andrew Ladd was the new captain of the Winnipeg team, I just wanted confirmation, I guess, on whether or not they had signed Andrew Ladd.
Andrew Ladd is a restricted free agent. He was the captain of the Atlanta team last year.
Yep.
And, you know, assuming he re-signs, people are just, you know, sort of...
Okay, so he hasn't been signed yet.
No, he has not re-signed yet.
Okay.
That's still... I think they still have to do a little bit of legwork front office-wise before they can get to that point. But it'll be in... I'm sure they're going to work on that very shortly.
As far as... Sorry, as I listened to Andrew Ladd on the show, he said he hadn't been contacted by anyone. I think there's a way to maybe get the rubber stamp before anything like that goes down.
Yeah, they'll be in touch with the players over the next couple days, I'm sure, just to get everybody comfortable with the organization. Graham, thanks very much for the call.
Alrighty, have a good day, guys.
You too.
Thanks, Graham.
Right up against it, let's go to break. When we come back after this commercial, the Premier of Manitoba, Greg Selinger, is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg and Michael Remus.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're absolutely thrilled to welcome to the show the Premier of Manitoba, Premier Greg Selinger. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thanks for having me, Drew.
Oh, we're a pleasure to have you, Mr. Premier. It's been about, obviously a little bit more than 24 hours now. Has your excitement waned at all? Is it still? Are you still as pumped as you were at the press
pumped.
Conference?
It's been building for a long time, and Manitobans have been waiting for, 15 years to get another shot to have an NHL team, and I think everybody's just fantastically excited about it, and we're going to make it work. There's just no doubt in my mind that we're going to make it work.
I agree with you on the making it work part. I mean, I think the ticket sales that they've had so far today indicate that people are going to support this, and they're going to support it at the level that the NHL demanded.
I believe they will, and you know what? People will get together in threes and fours and fives and sixes, and they'll buy a package of tickets and share them with each other, and that'll even have more fans going out to the game. So it'll be a great community-building exercise, but people are going to seize this opportunity. We know the MTS Center has been a great success downtown with all the shows it's brought in there and just how successful it has been in helping revitalize the downtown. And then we got the Iceplex now, and that's working out really well as well. So getting the NHL team back, it's just part of the overall sort of approach to sort of making Manitoba a place where you can have the best things in the world, and that includes NHL hockey. So I'm thrilled about it. I know it's going to work. We got a great ownership there with True North and Mark Chipman, and they've got a lot of experience running the Manitoba Moose. So all the elements are there. Good ownership, good experience, a supportive community, and a good facility. And, you know, the league's changed too. The league's much better now at revenue sharing and managing the expenses, and as long as they keep a good focus on making sure everybody can be competitive, we'll have a great experience with NHL hockey back here in Manitoba.
Mr. Premier, it's Ezra here. We all watched you step up to the podium at the MTS Center, and, you know, you were by far the most jubilant and elated to officially welcome the NHL back to Winnipeg. Can you talk to us about how important and excited the province must be to finally get the NHL back, and maybe talk about how True North is rumored and expected to name our NHL team Manitoba to honor the entire province.
Well, you know, I was excited about it because I've been talking to Manitobans for months and years about it, and everybody had a dream about getting NHL hockey back here. We never thought we should have lost it. This has always been a hockey province. Not that everybody wants to go to the games, but everybody just thinks it's a natural part of our culture and is supportive. And I mean men and women, young people and seniors. Everybody just feels it's something that makes part of being part of our community. It's just an integral part of our experience and our history. And, you know, we've always been groundbreakers. We've always been trailblazers. When the original team came out here with the Jets back in the Benny Haskin days, you know, we broke new ground then when Bobby Hull signed on, and you know, we expanded hockey into Western Canada. Let's be clear about that. So, you know, we've got a great tradition. The idea about Manitoba being part of the name, I think we've all, I think everybody believes that all Manitobans should feel a part of the team. You know, we're going to leave it up to the owners to work through the issues of naming, but I know they've got the Manitoba Moose, so it wouldn't surprise me in the least if they wanted to do Manitoba something or other for the team. But, you know, it's going to be something that we can all feel a part of and all identify with and participate in if we wish to the level we want. And so it'll just be another part of a good quality of life here in Manitoba.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by the Premier of Manitoba, Greg Selinger. Premier, can you when did True North first make contact with the provincial government, if you're able to share that? And
yeah,
when did it become a real reality to you that this is going to happen and it might happen as quickly as it did?
Well, as you know, we worked closely with True North to get the new MTS Center off the ground, the arena downtown. So we started with them way back in those days, and my predecessor, Gary Dewar, was involved with that, as was the whole government, and I was the Minister of Finance at the time, so we found the money to make it happen from our perspective. And other levels of government participated as well, both municipal and federal at that time, so that got the ball rolling. And then when I became the Premier of the province, I got together pretty early with Mark Chipman and his people, and they were telling us what the possibilities were. They thought they had a shot at a franchise, and what realistically can we do to be supportive. And you know, I had to be upfront, and everybody, we had a good relationship, but, you know, we're not in the business of government of supporting NHL operations, the team itself. That's got to stand on its own feet, but we'd always been very supportive of the building, and we thought we could find a way to support the building and pay down the mortgage on that, so that facility could be not only there for the NHL hockey, but for the benefit of the community, too, because we do have a community use agreement with that, with the owners of True North. And that arena is available for public events and to do fundraising and all kinds of things that benefit the community. So that made sense to us because it's part of downtown renewal. It's just part of having a good province of Manitoba. So it wasn't hard to work out how we could be supportive in a way that, you know, allowed us to make our main focus is things like health and education and clean water and proper roads and public safety. Those are our issues. The main responsibility of an NHL owner is to put a good product on the ice and make sure it's it can be profitable. And so the facility is a place where we could come together because we saw the community benefits in that.
Premier, you're a very busy man. Obviously, we'll have one final question, then we're going to let you go. You mentioned that the MTS Center is a community building. It's available for the community use. Do you have any concerns at all that with the addition of the NHL into the Winnipeg marketplace, that some of our other cultural fixtures, be it the theater or the arts communities or the dance community, are going to suffer at all because of people's disposable income is not going to be available to them as often as it was earlier?
I hope not. We've got a growing population in Manitoba. We got more people coming here. We got people staying here, young people sticking around. The average age of Manitobans is going down. And we've got a growing economy. So the more people that are working, the more people that are being prosperous, the more choices they have, they'll exercise those choices. We've always been a great supporter of the arts in Manitoba. We've always been great supporters of sports. This is just one option. It's clearly one that requires people to make a big commitment in terms of buying season tickets or going to a game, but they've tried to structure the price of the tickets so that it's within the realm of people at several different levels. I think that people will participate, and I think we'll also be able to build good, strong markets for other cultural and sporting institutions in the province, as long as we keep the economy growing and the population growing, and that's what we're here to do as a government, to make sure that we keep the province going in the right direction.
Premier Greg Selinger, thanks very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We assume we'll see you in front of your computer at 12 noon on Saturday with the rest of us trying to get season tickets.
Yeah, well, I've been scoping out the possibilities, but I'm definitely participating and getting some tickets, no doubt about it. And thanks for having me on the show, Drew.
Thanks very much, Premier Selinger. That is Premier Greg Selinger of the province of Manitoba joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thrilled to welcome the Premier. And, you know, I like his comments about it being a community effort because that's really what it is. It's going to involve everybody in the community. doing their part, stepping up, buying tickets, doing what they can to get to the games, to supporting this venture. And I have no doubts whatsoever that this community will do so, and that the drive to 13,000 will be an unmitigated success.
I think when you talk to, whether it's people in the business community, fellow hockey fans, hockey players, everyone seems to be totally 110% supportive of this team being successful. The provincial government, the city government, everyone is behind True North and the Chipman family. And I think that we are really set up in a position for the second time the NHL being here to be unmitigated success.
And that's the big difference. Sorry, Remus, I jumped in there. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I wasn't sure if we were going to break or not there. I was just going to say, we all know the pain of what it was like losing a team, and that's exactly why no one wants that to happen again, and everyone's stepping up and getting friends, asking around who wants to go in, and it's going to be everyone coming together, going in groups for season tickets.
Well, Darren, a former Winnipeg Jet himself, and a multiple-time guest on this show, just tweeted that Keith Tkachuk has just purchased season tickets for the upcoming season. So, even ex-players, are stepping up to try and support this effort. I'm a little curious how he Q-jumped.
I believe he has family here.
His wife is a Winnipegger, so maybe they had moose season tickets or something. Or, if you're Keith Tkachuk, I think you probably know somebody who knows somebody who can get the phone call answered, probably.
Hey, everyone knows that in Montreal, John Béliveau was always in the games. Maybe Keith Tkachuk is going to be our John Béliveau, that one former player that's at every single game. But it's awesome, Drew. I think, everyone is ready to buy season tickets or individual game tickets or mini packs or whatever, because that building is going to be the new hottest building. It might be the smallest arena, but I know for a fact that it will very quickly become the loudest arena.
Loudest and hot and the hardest ticket to get, I bet. I think easily, at least for the first couple years. And it's like Richie said, he said it on air yesterday, you're locked in for 3, 4, 5 years. And 3, 4, 5 years down the road, if everything goes according to plan and these players continue to develop as we think they should develop, this is going to be a cup-contending team.
And we know that, True North is they're smart businessmen. They know how to run a hockey team. They're experienced. They're going to put the right pieces in place and come up with a great plan to make sure this team's competitive throughout the time.
Well, that's a good point to leave it on. Let's come back after these commercial messages and talk about the front office structure. Who would you like to see? Do you want Rick Dudley? Do you want to see Craig Heisinger? Let's talk about that when we come back. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We were just joined on the line by Premier of Manitoba, Premier Greg Selinger. We appreciate him giving of his time.
Drew, earlier, it was great to have the current Premier interviewed by the future Premier.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
You're Premierial.
yeah, I'm Premierial, all right. I'll tell you what, not a chance. Not a chance at all. But good to also be joined earlier in the program by Dave Manson, just a legendary Winnipeg Jet. We are thrilled to welcome him to the program. In case you miss any of tonight's program or any of the program that we did, part one of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show earlier this afternoon, it's going to be available on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes. Subscribe. Get it downloaded to your iPod automatically each and every time we take to the airwaves here on Sports Radio 1290, be it our usual Saturday morning time slot or any other time slot throughout the course of the week, as things sort of have gone that way the last couple of weeks. So always do that. That's a great way to stay on top of Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Also, follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And you can always email us, info@IllegalCurve.com. That info email address goes to all of us at the same time.
That's great.
780-1290, area code 204, 780-1290. We want to talk a little bit about the front office structure. Sort of up in the air. We're not sure. We know that Don Waddell is not coming to Winnipeg. He announced that yesterday. He was the president of the Atlanta Thrashers. He's sticking back in Atlanta to do whatever it is that he was doing. No offense to him, but we can be pretty thankful for that. He was not the best NHL president of an operation. Current general manager, he's under contract for a number of years still, is Rick Dudley, former Winnipeg Jet, as it happens. Apparently, Rick Dudley has a good relationship with Craig Heisinger. Apparently, he's got a good relationship with the True North people. Do you guys want to see Rick Dudley as the general manager of this team?
You know, I'll jump in here first, then I'll let Reem get in. I've actually been quite a big fan of Rick Dudley's. If you remember, he was part of the management team in Tampa Bay. He was the general manager, and he was also previously a coach in Buffalo. Very well-respected guy in the hockey world, Drew. And we've heard that True North does have a good relationship with him, and they're fond of him. And I think that the big question mark is, you know, does Rick Dudley want to come here, and does True North want him as their GM? Have they thought about that yet? I'm sure they've given some strong consideration. I would have to think that in this situation, it would probably be beneficial to have a guy who's familiar. He hasn't been the GM of the Thrashers for that long. I mean, people forget that.
A couple years now. Two years now, and he just signed a four-year contract extension during the course of the season.
Just quickly, Drew, and I do want to let Reem get in here because I know that that we don't have too much time left, but...
You got 25 minutes. You got lots of time.
Yeah.
You can kick up your feet. You're wearing a fancy suit here. Yeah. You know, you can just unbutton the top button a bit, loosen the tie. Your boss isn't walking through the door anytime soon.
I just wanted to say, Drew, a rumor has been that Craig Heisinger will be part of the management team and may be director of hockey operations or an assistant general manager to Rick Dudley, and that they would together possibly pick another coach for this team.
Complete and total speculation. This is complete and total speculation. I can't say that enough. I can't see that. I think that Craig Heisinger, if he's not the general manager, would be the boss to Rick Dudley. I think that he's held in that high regard by True North, as he rightfully should be.
Yep.
Given, I mean, we're watching the Stanley Cup Finals right now. 5 minutes into the first period here. Look at all the talent Craig Heisinger has unearthed for the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, you know, you look at the Vancouver Canucks right now, and it's amazing how many of their players that play for the Moose. You got Bieksa, Edler, Hansen, Kessler, who else?
Corey Schneider.
Burroughs, backing up
Luongo, yeah.
I mean, and Burroughs is a guy who was, we talked about it last night, and I know I've said that a few times, but, you know, we talked about a lot last night in the 12 hours of coverage. You know, Burroughs was a guy who was in the ECHL, just languishing, floundering. Craig Heisinger scoops him up. Now he's a bona fide NHL player playing in his first Stanley Cup Finals. Credit only to one guy on that. Let me rephrase that. Credit to one guy for bringing him up and believing in him, and that's Craig Heisinger. And I'm perfectly comfortable if Craig Heisinger, you know, is the director of hockey operations and says that Rick Dudley's my guy. I'm comfortable with that. And if he says I want to be the general manager, I'm perfectly comfortable with that too. This team, this franchise, is in good hands with Craig Heisinger in a managerial position.
I'd have to agree 100% with that. Huge fan of Craig Heisinger. He's worked his way up to get where he is, and he's pretty much Mark Chipman's right-hand man, let's be honest. And Rick Dudley, I think right now it's speculation at this point, but I think that the general manager, the first general manager, especially, it's an important role, especially with a franchise move, and considering that he's under contract for 4 more years. I mean, that might tell you something right there, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, who knows when they did that or what they did that, or you know, maybe that was a quote-unquote poison pill Atlanta Spirit was trying to throw in there. We don't know why, you know, the reason why he was signed to his contract extension. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with it, but we don't know why it was done when it was done. 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290 if you're calling from out of town. What about the head coach? Craig Ramsey is the current head coach. This will be his second year, I believe, as the head coach of the Atlanta Thrashers. You know, longtime assistant in the NHL. Also, former Winnipeg Jets. It seems everybody's a former Winnipeg Jet.
Yeah, no kidding.
The theory goes that the general manager always, the head coach has to be the general manager's guy.
Right.
You know, that's the basics. You know, that's why you have your general manager. He has to be comfortable with the guy leading the troops. Is Craig Ramsey the right guy for this job?
That is a difficult question. I'll try to answer it in this way. Craig Ramsey was a rookie head coach this year, going into his second year, as you previously mentioned, a guy that's got tons of experience and also a very well-respected guy. He struggled this year in Atlanta with a young team, and I have to believe, I'll put it this way, Drew. I would if I had to put it on the board, so to speak.
Put it
I
on the board.
I would say there's more of a chance that we'll see a new head coach than a new GM. That's what I would say. I might be I've been wrong many times before, but I would have to think that Dudley stays on in some role in the management department and a new coach is hired, and there's been lots of speculation. And you know, Claude Noel might be a front runner because he was the coach of the Moose. Well, who knows? But I would have to say that I think that as far as the fit goes, you know, it might be new start, new city. I might have to think that maybe Craig Ramsey isn't the best guy for the job because he's not very familiar with the building or the city necessarily. And maybe a guy like Claude Noel might be a little bit better for that job.
He certainly knows the organization. I mean, Claude Noel has been a career, for the most part, AHL head coach. He had a brief stint in Columbus as their interim head coach a couple years ago. But, you know, when you're the interim head coach and then you're overlooked for the head coaching position, I wonder what that tells you. Now, of course, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So True North did not waste a second of the opportunity to scoop up Claude Noel as their head coach when Scott O'Neill went to the NHL, to go to Columbus, that sort of trade that they made.
Another thing to add, the Manitoba Moose were absolutely decimated by injuries this year. The Manitoba Moose...
injuries and call-ups and everything else.
And they did pretty well. They were almost on the verge of getting to the North Division final or the conference final? One of the two. They ended up making the playoffs and going out early. But Claude Noel is a very respected guy, and his name was talked about many times last summer as someone who might be given an NHL head coaching job. So you have to think that he's at the top of that list if they don't want to go with Ramsey.
Well, I think about Claude Noel is it seemed, and I mean. The Manitoba Moose were down 3-1 in both of their playoff series.
Yep.
They were down 3-1 to Lake Erie in the first round, and as we know, they came back to win in 7 games.
Yep.
When you're down 3-1, I mean, I know that there's certainly professional pride, and you never want to just hang your head and go out, but it's incumbent on the coach to really convince your players and commit to your players that, yes, we can still win this series, and the players have to respond to that. They have to believe what they're hearing. And to me, it's quite indicative that twice the Moose were down 3-1 in the playoffs, and they didn't tune out Claude Noel. They kept going, and they, in Game 7 against Hamilton, it was it was a goal in the second or third overtime. I can't recall.
And to add a little fuel to the fire, guys, if there's going to be a situation where it would be easy to fire a coach, this is it. Because Craig Ramsey is not Lindy Ruff. He's not Mike Babcock. He's not a guy that's been with a team, the same team for a while, who's under contract or who the GM Rick Dudley, I'm sure, hired him. So they had obviously along with Don Waddell. But I think that we'll have to wait and see here. These decisions won't be made easily or quickly. But
they'll be made relatively quickly. I wouldn't be surprised if they're made in the next few weeks. I think.
Well, I'm just talking about. I mean, quickly nowadays. Yeah, nowadays, with all the news that's coming, I'm just saying it's not going to happen tomorrow. But yeah, it's not. It's going to obviously happen before the draft, Drew.
That's right.
But it's an interesting thing. I mean, like we said before, though, hiring Claude Noel. If you believe that True North has been had their eye and have been negotiating with Atlanta Spirit for a few years, you have to think that hiring Claude Noel, you'd probably think, oh well, if we're going to get this NHL team, we might be able to bring Claude Noel in if the chance arises, right?
They're blending two families together. That's what they're trying to do. It's a father and a wife, or a father and a mother who were married to other people, marrying each other and blend all their kids together into one family. Now, Remus, you're on your third wife, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So you can speak that from personal experience, right?
Oh, it's extremely difficult, divvying up the properties and time with the kids. But you got to make it work. You got to, take the A with the B and combine them together, and you got C.
It's like the Illegal Curve team, the A team and the B team combining together to make a solid radio show tonight here on Sports Radio 1290.
It's great, Drew. It's great.
It's great. It's great. Let's go to break. That'll be great. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. When we come back, one final segment. You're live on Sports Radio 1290. 7:45 in the evening here on this, what is this, a Wednesday night?
I have no idea anymore.
It's sort of going back to the future here, boys. I mean, Wednesday night being on air, that's where we began, that's where our roots are. our Wednesday nights on radio on the college station we used to be on. So this is going back to the future a little bit.
You know what, Drew? It's not Wednesday. It's Jets Day 2.
Jets Day 2? That's the new calendar?
I think it's the new calendar.
Yeah, sorry, I was actually going to say before Jets, but I was going to use the acronym there for a second, and that probably wouldn't be very good, or the initials rather, so I'm not going to even touch that one at all. 70-1290, area code 204-780-1290. I think Remus just got it. Anyways, we want to hear from you. You know, what are your thoughts about what this management team should look like? Is there somebody that we haven't mentioned as a potential head coach here? You know, you got about 10 minutes left before you can still call in here on Sports Radio 1290. Ezzy, you got you're raising your pen up in the air very respectfully.
Well,
what's
I was
on your
say,
mind?
I haven't even had. I think we have a caller on the line, but I was going to say I just saw briefly Kevin Dineen's name flashed across the screen. I didn't even have time
new
to see
coach
who
of
he
the
was.
New head coach of the Florida Panthers.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Dineen.
Yeah. So that's another guy's name who was bandied about along with Kirk Muller, Drew.
Yeah, that's a guy that actually we are going to see Kevin Dineen three times here in Winnipeg as part of the Southeast Division.
Yep.
Next season. So Kevin Dineen, new head coach of the Florida Panthers. Hopefully a team we beat up on next year. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey there,
what's your name?
Mike.
Mike, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
I just want to talk about your team here. I think we got a good bunch of guys coming in.
I agree, Mike.
I definitely like the lineup we have. It's a very young team. And personally, I think this team, once they get here to Winnipeg, I think it's going to add a spring to their step. You know, everyone says Atlanta, they weren't very good. They didn't finish very well. But I really believe these guys playing in front of us, sold out in the MTS Center, and just being in a real hockey town, I really believe it's going to add a spring to their step.
Mike, I couldn't agree more with your point. You know, I think as a professional, I mean, look, that team got off to a pretty good start last season.
Yep.
Then in December and January, they really fell on a hard time. That really, they fell so bad that it didn't matter what was going to happen the rest of the year. They were out of playoff contention. And as a professional, showing up night in and night out and playing in front of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in a large 18,000-seat arena has got to be demoralizing. There's no atmosphere. It's like it's playing hockey in an art gallery. It just doesn't.
Right.
It's not conducive to getting an extra step, you know, a jump in your step. But I agree with you, Mike, when you say when they come out on the ice in front of 15,000 screaming lunatics, you don't think they're going to go nuts and have an extra motivation to play well in front of their hometown team?
Absolutely. I think I really believe it's going to make them a better team. I know they're professionals, and you got to play. You know, you're expected to play the same wherever you go. But I think coming here, I think these guys are going to really give her.
Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What's your plan for snatching up tickets Saturday?
I'm probably going to go in on a half season with four guys, as opposed to a full season with eight guys. We get to see the same amount of games. You know, if we go four instead of eight. So,
Mike, make sure the wireless router is ready to go.
Yep.
Mike, we appreciate
it. I got a brand new one here. It's all ready to go.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah, Mike, we appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us.
Love your show.
Appreciate
Thanks
that.
Mike.
780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. I mean, I think Saturday morning when we're back on the air, assuming we're not on tomorrow or Friday and things could change and we could be back on air before we know it,
right,
that's going to be the topic of conversation. Saturday morning, people are going to be at a fever pitch. This is going to be, they're going to be, you know, watching the clock tick down. You know, whose clock is it that matters most? If your clock is 2 minutes slow or 2 minutes fast, you're going to be freaking out. You want to be there right when the doors open.
We're freaking out, man. You have another caller.
We have another caller.
Don't freak out too much.
Okay, I'll try to keep the freak out to a minimum. Welcome to the program. What's your name? Apparently hang up. We appreciate that.
Mr. Tone.
780-1290, area code 204-780-1290.
You know, Drew, I was going to say, we've had some great calls tonight. Everyone who's been calling in is knowledgeable at hockey. They've been knowledgeable with the team. Everyone is excited and ready to snatch up tickets. The excitement level in the city, I don't know, 98%. You remember the old noise meter at the Winnipeg Arena?
Was that properly calibrated? Because every time I clapped louder, the noise meter used to go down. I don't get it.
Regardless of how loud it was, it would just blow out.
I don't think that was an accurate noise meter, and that really upsets me.
No, boys, I think that the city went so nuts yesterday. I think we could handle a second team. Can we play like? Do you think we could have a drive to 13,000 fans at River Heights Community Center or something?
Are you going to play for the team?
No, I could barely skate when I coached this year. So, no, but I mean, yesterday, I mean, how many times can you say this? There's no more words that can describe yesterday. It was unbelievable. It was crazy. It was a massive party, and you'll always remember what you did. You'll remember what you did hour by hour yesterday. I did, which was basically talk to everyone. So,
well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Ezzy, because you know this morning, you know, I logged on to illegalcurve.com like I always do, and Dave Minuk, you heard him earlier in the afternoon, and you know he's better known
Mr. Globe and Mail.
Mr. Globe and Mail, exactly. Yeah. Dave Minuk, who was mentioned in the Dave Schultz article in the Globe and Mail, you know, did a great sort of retrospective of yesterday. As he was moving about the city, taking video and taking pictures throughout the day as the crowds gathered and moved and went from the Forks to Portage and Maine, and then new people came out, and then they were at Tavern United downtown with us. And you know, for us who were, for the most part, on air and weren't able to engage with the fans at Portage and Maine and the Forks, I thought it was a great sort of, you know, semi-portion to sort of, we get to see how the crowd was and how the atmosphere was throughout the city, all-encompassing throughout the city yesterday.
You know, after we left Tavern United, I walked down to Portage and Maine, and I could not believe that the crowd was still there, still going strong, and still everyone was just jumping around, having a good time. Someone was even crowd surfing at Portage and Maine downtown. It was just
I hope they put the person down gently, because that's cement on
the... was that the guy who was just really excited that he got Pearl Jam floor tickets, or...?
I don't know. They might as well have been a Pearl Jam floor over there.
Well, I mean... You know, I was wondering, after Tavern United last night, I was a little bit wiped, so I went home, and I, you know, had my BlackBerry, of course, with me, and I'm like, which of us from Illegal Curve is still up that they're tweeting about Portage and Maine and snapping pictures? And I should have known it was you there, Remus. You're fairly nocturnal in the best of times.
I got a decent picture there, and then honestly, after that, I went right home, and I never slept easier.
It was a mentally exhausting day. It was a physically exhausting day. But it was a day that I wouldn't have given up for the world. And, I mean, you have some days that are just mentally and physically draining, and you're like, God, that was terrible. This was a day I would have done a million times over again, given how it went yesterday.
I'm going to steal a line from Remus and say, let me tell you, this has been such an unbelievable last 24 hours and last couple of weeks. The guys that Remy and Dave and Matt were able to interview today, you know, the Mike Eagles and Freddie Olson, and then, you know, tonight... We had Dave Manson on. We were able to have the premiere on. And Tavern United, you know, we got to thank them for hosting a great sports radio 1290 event yesterday. It was amazing. We had, you know, Darren Ford of JetsOwner.com on there with us. And then Hustler and Lawless interviewed Scott Brown. Dancing Gabe was there. A lot of our friends were there celebrating with us. It's just been...
You couldn't have
it organized was a better celebration than we were able to experience last night.
It was a bar mitzvah party, as far as we are concerned. It was a celebration. It was everybody in a joyful, I mean, just in a joyous mood. Everybody, go Jets, go. Jets jerseys everywhere you look. I mean, the spontaneous O Canada that broke out sometime around, God knows what time it was.
Drew, you had two chicken wraps. You had an afternoon chicken wrap and a night chicken wrap.
Yeah, exactly.
Two chicken wraps.
Fries both times.
Didn't want to switch it up.
You with the fries. So stop it right there.
Yeah, me and Benji were eating those fries.
I think everyone came by and took a fry.
That's okay, exactly. You distracted me by making me go on the radio while I was trying to sneak bites of my chicken wrap in between. But, you know, I thought that moment about 8:30 last night where the entire Tavern United broke out in O Canada. That to me is a bit of an indelible impression. It's unfortunate that we were in commercial when it happened, but it was joyous. I mean, it was joyous. People were just, you know, exuberant.
I think it was the O Canada, and then once in a while we'd be sitting down, and all of a sudden everyone would just start chanting, go Jets, go, go Jets, go. It was something special.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, I think that's a very good way to put it. It was something special. Before we wrap up tonight, let's do it like we always do it. Let's go to Cheers and Jeers.
Cheers.
Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And Jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something sticks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
I'm going to start with the man on my far left. That's Michael Remus.
Hey now. I'm going to start off with a cheer. And this is, you know, obviously there's a lot of people I can cheer. This is probably the easiest cheer. I'm going to cheer the city of Winnipeg when, you know, stopping what they're doing, watching the announcement, and everyone's going to step up and make the drive to 13 a really easy target to hit.
That's well put. Can't say. Sometimes it's just that easy.
I took an easy one, but come
That's
on.
Okay. It's an easy day. We'll let you off the hook this time.
This is maybe less easy or more easy, but I'm going to cheer the entire province of Manitoba, which obviously includes the city of Winnipeg. Maybe, Drew, you can go take the country of Canada next.
Yeah, exactly.
If you see where we're going. But the entire province of Manitoba, because this team will be called Manitoba. I'm fairly certain of that. That's all we've heard, Drew. The Manitoba Moose were obviously the Manitoba Moose as soon as they joined the IHL and the NHL. But this is great for the entire province. The NHL is coming back, and it's for everyone to enjoy. Whether you're in Flin Flon, Plum Coulee, Portage la Prairie, Brandon, whatever, this is going to be a Manitoba team. I'm fairly sure of that.
Don't you have arrest warrants out in each of those four cities for you?
Yeah, I visit them all on a weekly basis. I just travel around the entire province on a hovercraft, actually.
Really, a hovercraft? Interesting. Yeah. I'm gonna, you know what? I'll take your advice and I'm gonna follow up and I'll cheer. I'm going to take liberties as the host, and I'm going to cheer two different groups of people. One, the country of Canada, because it seemed like everybody in Canada was sort of behind this drive for Winnipeg getting this team. You didn't hear much naysaying from, you know, from any of the other communities or anything else. Everybody seemed to be excited that there was going to be another NHL team in Canada and coming to Winnipeg. And then secondly, I'm going to cheer a lot of the NHL players. You know, we've heard the two naysayers, and we heard from them months ago, Peter Brizgalov and Eric Bélanger. Since then, they're yesterday's news. It's been nothing but positive comment after positive comment by former Winnipeg Jet, by current Winnipeg Jet, by NHLers throughout the province and throughout the country and throughout North America. And I think that's a great sign for people's excitement to come to Winnipeg, for the next forever, let's hope.
Drew, Prime Minister Harper issued a statement that we posted on illegalcurve.com, okay? When a team comes back to Winnipeg, the Prime Minister makes a statement instantaneously.
Yeah.
Because it's just the best news that can happen when we basically get another team in the oldest and most important sports league.
In this country, exactly. Yep. Right. Anyways, that's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, both segments of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'd like to thank the following people. The earlier members of the team, Dave Minuk, Matthew Leibel, Remus, you were there earlier in the program. We appreciate you pulling pinch-hitting duties. Ezzy, I'd like to thank yourself. Remus again. Richard Pollock is under the weather. We wish him best, and we'll see him back here soon on Saturday morning. I'd like to thank the following guests. Dave Manson, Phil Housley, Freddie Olson joined us live from Sweden earlier today. The Premier of Manitoba, Greg Selinger, joined us this evening. We encourage you to check out www.illegalcurve.com. In case you missed any of this program, it'll be available on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes. Subscribe. Get the show sent to you automatically each and every week. We encourage you to follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and of course, constantly updated www.illegalcurve.com. We'll be back on Saturday morning with our usual three-hour edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show leading up to the start of general sales tickets for the new Winnipeg NHL franchise. And until Saturday morning, we wish you good night and good luck.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk Saturday morning at 9, exclusively on Sports Radio 1290.